Okay. Tonight's discussion is a fascinating one because it's an exploration of, firstly, some American history, some Jewish history in America, and it also involves a tremendous halachic dispute, which was not resolved until currently, even and still is debatable. The first Marim Makom for this shiur is actually not source one, but all the way in the back. It deserves to be in the back because it's not really Torah, but it's interesting historically. Page 4, before you get to page 5. Page 4 is a tshuva written by a person named Levi Ginsberg. So Levi Ginsberg was around the turn of the 20th century, and this tshuva was written in the 1920s. Right after the 18th Amendment to the Constitution.
Prohibition.
What happened with Prohibition? So Prohibition meant that people could not...
Yeah, I was always wondering about that.
...produce
right.
alcohol. Now, there was a dispensation. This is not...
Right.
One could do it for
sacrament. My grandfather made... he was a bootlegger.
Oh, that's the problem. Exactly.
Some of the rabbanim were actually,
It was nice to hear. I've read that. It was nice to hear that supported by evidence.
They told me that. But knowing him, all the rabbanim.
All the rabbanim made wine. They all did it.
Older women made wine.
Some were done like
Some of them made a couple
extra
dollars off.
And then they needed brandy sometimes,
I heard. That's precisely what happened, apparently.
Right.
It was made for sacrament, but for large sacraments, meaning they used them for various purposes, and it led to a little bit of a Chilul Hashem. I mean, people realized, even the Nachrim, even those that were the non-Jews that wanted to keep, that let the Jews do it, realized that there were some problems with making wine L'Shem Shemayim, and it led to things that were Shalol L'Shem Shemayim. So, this person, Levi Ginsberg, wanted to try to stem the tide of Chilul Hashem, and wanted to try to find ways for Jews to make Kiddush on perfectly acceptable beverages that were non-alcoholic. Therefore, keeping the 18th Amendment, keeping Prohibition, but still not making Chilul Hashem. So he wrote a Biv Teshuva about using grape juice for Kiddush. Who was Levi Ginsberg? Levi Ginsberg is, if you look on the next page, Levi Ginsberg is Professor Louis Ginsberg, the head of the Jewish Theological Seminary.
Wow.
He was the head of JTS. A person who knew a lot of... Okay, Professor JTS. Professor Louis Ginsberg was very involved in the conservative movement. He knew a lot of Torah, but unfortunately was not a person that had earned the appellation of Talmud Chacham because of his beliefs and his Yiras Shemayim, or lack of it thereof. So Levi Ginsberg, Professor Louis Ginsberg, wrote a tshuva, the first person that we have on record ever, the master using grape juice for Kiddush in recent times, was Professor Louis Ginsberg. This is in front of you see, this is part of the tshuva, this is the front page of the tshuva. This is reprinted from tshuvas that the JTS recently reprinted his magnificent tshuvas in a book called Ma'ane Levi. You know, he's a big, a person who knew a lot of Torah. Unfortunately, he used it for the wrong purposes, but they printed that whole tshuva, many, many pages in that book, Ma'ane Levi. So this is the front page from the original edition, tshuva, you see over here. And then on the next page, the English, Hebrew is the front page, that's just the front pages. And this is the beginning of the tshuva, She'ewa. And then the English, which is a little bit more clear as far as prohibition, this is there was some journal that printed the English abstract, so let everyone know that he thought it was mutter to use grape juice for Kiddush. He's really the first person to master grape juice. He already talks about it in the response. The Volstead Act and regulations of the Department of Internal Revenue, Jews are permitted to buy wine for purposes of religious trust, whatever. That's the whole thing about that it should really be mutter, but it causes the Chilul Hashem. Therefore, in order to stop these scandals, he wants to find a way to be master grape juice. Okay. That was Professor Louis Ginsberg. And to neged him, on the opposite, taking the opposite stance, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham from Hartford. You know, in the 1920s, in small town America, there were a lot of people that were tremendous Talmud Chachamim, who didn't necessarily make it big because Judaism was very different in the 20s than now. So there's a person, Rav Horowitz, or Horowitz was a Rav in Hartford. He wrote a beautiful sefer, which is still printed now, called Yad HaLevi. This is the third page on Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam. Oh, yes, thank you. He wrote a beautiful perish for the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam, which talks about many mitzvot. But he took the liberty in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Hei, the Mitzvah of Kiddush, to launch a vehement opposition against Professor Louis Ginsberg. Because he thought, first of all, Louis Ginsberg was not a person who's allowed to prepare public policy, number one. And number two, Louis Ginsberg is not a person who should write the way he did. And Louis Ginsberg, within his tshuva, wrote how the Malkin of Rum writes something. The Malkin of Rum, really, if he would have seen the original sources that he was quoting from, the Malkin of Rum himself, he wouldn't have written what he wrote. He was irreverent to the Malkin of Rum, which is a terrible thing. Even if you want to disagree, there's a way to do it.
If you read the first page of the Ginsberg,
yeah,
like he says, even on English, he talks about how Kiddush Hayom hit that it was just that the Rabbanon saw that people were drinking wine just to get drunk, so therefore they wanted to like add an element of Kiddusha to it. The phraseology.
Are you irreverent? Interesting. He was unfortunately irreverent. That's how I didn't see that. Okay, so that's. Yeah, it was his the whole.
As a religious custom, right?
The entire tshuva was a little bit irreverent. As you can imagine, a person who's trying to establish a beachhead and try to take down the Orthodox establishment is not exactly going to have aim of Vira when he's talking about Orthodox Jews. So this Rav from Hartford wrote an essay in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Hei. He takes this tangent to vehemently and very, very strongly oppose Professor Louis Ginsberg. Just to quote one line, he says, if you look the paragraph in the middle paragraph of Venireh, if you go 3, 6, 9, 10 lines down, the first two words on the line is Gaon HaKaraim. See that? Now, Karaim, the Karaites, when we talk about the Karaites in terms of those that believed mostly in Torah Shabbat in the days of the Rishonim and the Rambam, they were a sect. That's Kuf Resh Aleph Yud Mem. Comes from the fact that they believed mostly in Kra meaning the Psukim. So he makes the play on words, Rosh HaKaraim, the head of the split, the head of the people who's trying to split off from mainstream Judaism. And that was Louis Ginsberg that he is opposing. So he took a very strong stance, and he thought you cannot use Vaitrus. So what we're going to explore now are some of the votes for, some of the votes against, and to just say how we hold Halacha Maisa, what the general consensus is. Well, we can just know by show of hands, most people here probably at least one time or another will make Kiddush on Vaitrus.
Every week.
There was once a Halacha that I was discussing this idea with, and I said, you know, so what's the shot? Why is Minhag HaOlam to make Kiddush on Vaitrus? I said, what do you mean? What's the problem? You look at the bottle of Kedem Kankur Vaitrus and it says, Kashur L'Kiddush L'Arba Kosos. Obviously.
And also the name of a Mashir. What's his name?
Oh, the Tehillim HaRav. So there's a fascinating story. They say, why was it that of all people, the Tehillim HaRav was good Talmud Chacham, but why of all people is the Tehillim HaRav the one who gives that stuff on Kedem? Apparently, when Kedem was first trying to make grape juice, and have it accepted in the Jewish community, the first person that was willing, that had stature, that was willing to give them hashacha, and give them hashama that they could use grape juice, was the Salem HaRav. It was such a good issue that he was willing to take a stance and say it's mutter. Other rabbanim did not think it's mutter, and that's how he eventually got a connection to Kedem. So the reason we really use it nowadays, though, just to make a long story short, is that Rav Moshe Feinstein, Pasuk Hador, said that you could use grape juice. So once Rav Moshe Feinstein said you could use grape juice, even though they're not Hasidim or those that would not follow the Talmud Rav, that's why we all use grape juice, because Rav Moshe said you can. But it's very interesting, it's very important to yeah.
No, I tell you something, my wife happens to be allergic to wine.
Really?
It's a real problem. For grape juice you can get without sulfites. You know?
Yeah, that's the problem with the sulfites, right? Yeah.
So we're going to explore a little bit some of the background. Sorry?
Is it wrong to use
no, wine? It's great. Wine is definitely okay. In fact, it might even be a little better. We'll get to that also. But grape juice is also.
You actually have admonished of wine. I mean, even though my mother was a diabetic, just the bottom of the glass to cover it a little bit. Every Friday was her treat. And then, of course, when we went away for Pesach, then I would take and mix it with grape juice, and half wine and half grape juice.
Right.
Because she would have the four cups, even though she would only take the one full cup, and
probably
make it good for all four.
Right, right. So we'll get to that a little bit later, Bez Hashem. Let's see, there's three major reasons to say that one should not use grape juice for Kiddush. And not only that, according to what we're going to see, there's a major question as to if grape juice is the bracha of hadrachan altogether. It might be the Begrashus of Sharkol. In fact, Reb Hirshel Schachter, this man has there, really tries not to use Begrashus for Kiddush because of this discussion as far as the bracha. Meaning, if he was pressed, he would rely on Reb Moshe Feinstein. I mean, but since it's a discussion, meaning if you don't have to enter yourself in the Suffolk Ruffles, why bother? So let's explore some of the sources and see what's going on. The first source is the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra, what's going on in Bava Basra? What does Bava Basra have to do with wine? The Gemara in Bava Basra, in this parak, Havoka Peros talks about various business transactions, and when a person says A, what do they mean? For example, if a person says wine, what do they mean? Sometimes we presume that if a person says they're selling wine, then part of what they're doing, if they sell, for example, a whole room of wine, we understand that part of the wine is allowed to be sour. It's understood, at least it was in those days, that when you say a whole room of wine, some of the wine will be sour, because that's what a whole room means. A room means that you don't have to inspect it, make sure it's all okay. Some of it's going to be sour. So it's dealing with a lot of business transactions involving wine, and then the Gemara goes on a tangent involving wine. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zushra Bar Tovya Amar Rav. First source. Ein Omrim Kiddush Hayom Ela Al Hayayin HaRo'oy L'Naseich Adam Ahim Ezbeach. The only wine suitable for Kiddush is wine which one can use on the Mizbeach. On the Mizbeach meaning they're in a Safek. We know that most Karbanos, all Karbanos, have wine libations with them too. We always say that in the Musaf, in Ishkem, some Chazan do it with venomous, others with not so good, but we always point out there are Mizkeim. There always been stuff on the Karbanos. We mentioned, but there is one exception. On Sukkot, we know that in addition to the wine libations, there's also water, mayim, that was Sukkot HaTisha Eva. It didn't replace wine, we just added that. The Karbanos always had wine brought with them as well. So any wine which is kosher for the Mizbeach, that's kosher for Kiddush. So that's Rav's enigmatic statement. He's telling us, that's his way of telling us what you can use for Kiddush. So the Gemara says, L'mutei mai, what's he coming to exclude? I mean, in which type of wine would I have thought you could use for Kiddush, but because you can't use it for the Mizbeach, it therefore is not eligible for Kiddush as well? So the Gemara has a hard time figuring out what we're coming to exclude. Ilema l'mutei yayin midito. If you say we're coming to exclude yayin midito, midito means from its press. If we're trying to exclude wine from its press, that can't be. Bahatani Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia said, as far as the Nesachim are concerned, Yayin Midito Lo Yavi. You shouldn't drink wine straight from its press. In Havi, Kasher. But if you do indeed bring wine straight from the wine press to the Mizbeach, then you're Nesachim, we're good with the Eved. You shouldn't do it, it's not the best wine to bring, but it works with the Eved. Says the Gemara, but Tevon, in Havi, Kasher, since it if the Eved, you brought it on the Mizbeach, it works. Anan, as far as us, as far as Kiddush, afilu l'chatzila nami. So grape juice, meaning pure grape juice, organic grape juice that just came out of the grapes, was not treated in any way, that is kosher with the Eved for the Mizbeach, and therefore it's kosher even l'chatzila for Kiddush. So when the Gemara says the only thing that you can't, that you can make Kiddush on is something which is right for the Mizbeach, it's coming to exclude something, the Gemara presumes, not to exclude grape juice, pure grape juice, because pure grape juice is perfectly valid. So we're still left, what's it coming to exclude? And the Gemara still continues, Damar Rava, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalanovim, Bomer Alav Kiddush Hayom. You see, Rava says that a person can squeeze grapes and make Kiddush on them right away. So it's possible to do that. In fact, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba that says you shouldn't think that using fresh grapes, or using grape juice that's freshly pressed, is the Diabet for Kiddush. I mean, it's the Diabet for Mizbeach. Maybe you would have thought it's only the Diabet for Kiddush. No, because the Gemara says, Sokhe, one can do it. Not Im Sokhe, if a person squeezed it, one can still use it for Kiddush. It's something that's mentioned in with the phraseology of Chatzila. Sokhe Adam, a person can do it with Chatzila. In fact, when I was first married, I used to do this. Because I knew there was a discussion if one should use grape juice, such as Kedem grape juice, which we'll see is different than this grape juice for Kiddush. So what I used to do was, I used to take a Juice Man Jr., that's a juicer, they have these juice machines, that what it really does, it doesn't do such a good job juicing. It has like a blade, it pulverizes this stuff. So the grape juice that I made was like pulverized grapes. It tasted exactly like the grapes that I put in, except it was a liquid. But I used to use that. That was Sokhet Adam Eshkol Shonam. You can squeeze grapes right before Shabbos on Friday afternoon, and I used to use that for Kiddush sometimes instead of wine. So that is kosher l'chatzila. That type of interest is perfectly okay, even with the evidence of the Mizbeach. We'll have to get to why our type of interest is different than that. So, what is it?
Process,
right. So we'll get to the session. Says the Gemara, so we're still at a loss. What's the Gemara coming to exclude? The member of Rav, what was Rav telling us not to use for Kiddush? Next try is by the three dots there. Elu Lemute, Yayin, Koseis, Mazud, Medulla, Shoshmarim, Shoshmarim, Rav. These five or six things is the next attempt that Gemara is saying. Koseis, we'll get to in a second. Mazud means that you mixed too much water in. Medulla means that it was left uncovered overnight. It might be poisoned by some snake or some other animal that was around. Shoshmara means there's too many sediments. Shariach Arab means it smells terrible. We think all those things are going to be excluded, including the first one at the end was prostates. The Tanya, as we said, the Kuan will Yavid and Havi Puzzle. All those things are puzzle, even the Dieved, for the Mizbeach. Oh, if they puzzle even the Dieved for the Mizbeach, that's probably the Gemara is coming to exclude and tell us not to use for Kiddush as well. So the Gemara says, I understand the other ones we talked about. Mazuk, Medulla, Shoshmarim, Shavecha, Ra. So the Gemara, even Mute Koseis, we're coming to exclude Yayin Koseis. We didn't define it yet. If we're coming to exclude Yayin Koseis, that can't be. Why? Pukta, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Yayin Koseis is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So what? So we had a member of Rav, who was an Amora, who said unequivocally one cannot use a certain type of wine for Kiddush. The Gemara reasons that if Rav said something, then later Amorim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yochanan would not argue if one should use Yayin Koseis, if that's what Rav was coming to exclude. Meaning they would not disagree with Rav, they would just disagree with something that they would disagree about something that no one ever discussed before.
Well, so, at the same time, Rabbi Yochanan argued all the time.
Yeah, but if Rav said this statement, and then Rabbi Yochanan had my focus, which was really unrelated, presumably that my focus, they wouldn't be arguing on Rav unless they somehow connected it together. So once Rav said as a statement, and then Rabbi Yochanan and Rishon Levi were arguing on something, and they weren't related, we presume they'd have to be arguing on Rav. So it can't be when Rav said something straight, that was precisely what Rabbi Yochanan and Rishon Levi were disagreeing about. So again, we didn't define Yayin Koseis, but Yayin Koseis were saying cannot be excluded for Kiddush and for Mizbeach, because if it would be excluded, that's the Mafokas Amaroi. Okay, so what is Yayin Koseis? What's this Mafokas? The Rashbam says, on Sadi Zayin, Amun Aleph above Vashar, this first source, look back, that's Sadi Vav Amun Aleph. Let's see that Sadi Vav Amun Aleph. What is it that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagreed about on that previous daf? Om Rabbi Yochanan. Ho Reche Chala, the Tame Chamra, Chamra. Rabbi Yochanan stated that any wine whose smell is vinegar, the Tame Chamra, but its flavor is why somebody's a fan. Whatever wine that smells like vinegar, the tame chamra, but it still tastes like wine, according to Rabbi Yochanan, chamra. It's still wine. You know, this wine is beginning to turn. It wasn't checked so well, so it reached its pinnacle as wine. Now it's sort of on the slope down. So it still tastes like wine, but it's already starting to smell like vinegar. So Rabbi Yochanan says that is chamra. That still is wine. That's valid. Valid for Kiddush, valid for Mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagrees. Reche chala, the time a chamra, if it smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, or reche chala, the time a chamra, or if it smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, either it smells like vinegar, it smells like wine. Either one, as long as it has something to do with vinegar, then we say chala. It has the status of vinegar. Once it's turning, whether it turns just in taste or just in smell, it's considered vinegar. Which means one cannot use it for anything that requires wine, whether it's kiddush, it's beah. It's not valid for halakhically as wine. Says the Gemara, Cheman Pashat Leik, who do we pass in like? Chidiba, Rav Mari, Rav Zvid. Two other Amoraim disagree about who we passed in like. Chad Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chad Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One Amora says we passed in like Rabbi Yochanan, that as long as it smells, as long as it tastes like wine, it's still considered wine. And the other Amora says we passed in like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that once it starts turning, it's already like vinegar. This didn't really help us so much because we had a machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, and a machlokes of Arayim had a pasuk, which means we still have a machlokes of Arayim. What's the dinus? Okay, but that's what the Gemara says.
The context here is we're using it for a mitzvah as opposed to its status vis-a-vis a bracha.
Yes, yes. It's supposed to status for a bracha.
So you'd still, even if it smelled like vinegar, you would still make
a gavan. Right, so we had a precisely. It might be. That's the discussion.
It depends on how.
If it smells, if it still tastes
right.
Like wine, then
it's on its way down, but not.
Yeah. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish. So this is the Ayin Kosis. Says the Rashbam. If you look in the studio, it's quite clear. This is the Ayin Kosis we were talking about. Ayin Kosis means wine which is changing. It is vinegar. It smells like vinegar, but it's still really wine. So Rabbi Yochanan says one can use it, and Rabbi Shimon Levi says one cannot use it. That is machlokes. And then Rav says, therefore, when Rav says quite clearly, you can't use something for the mizbeach, and you can't use something for kiddush, that didn't mean yayin kosher, because that's machlokes amarayim. Says the Rashbam, and that in the same studio over there, the third source. What's the reason to say that yayin kosher is not valid for kiddush and for the mizbeach? Says the Rashbam in the third source, yayin kosher. Possible, the low tavi shechar. Because it's not shechar. What's shechar? So usually we translate shechar as being beer. Rabbi Shechter always points out that in the old translations of the Chumash, we have the pasuk says in Shemini, yayin v'shechar al teish. You cannot be kohanim before they go into the Beis Hamikdash are not allowed to drink intoxicating beverages. They're not allowed to drink wine. No, so really, precisely, right. What is yayin? Yayin means yayin midito. Yayin means freshly squeezed grape juice, even though there's no alcoholic content. And shechar means what we would call wine. Shechar in modern Hebrew means beer, even in Shulchan Aruch means beer. We saw that yesterday, the coffee. Shechar means beer. But shechar in the Torah means fermented wine, old wine. And yayin means new wine. So when the Rashbam says here, Pasul Dolavi Shechar, it means it's not alcoholic. The reason Yayin Kosais is not good for Kiddush is not because it's putrid. It's perfectly palatable. It's just, it's no longer alcoholic, or it's losing its ability to make someone drunk. And not only that, says the Rashbam, the Lo Roi Liyos Shechar. It's no longer able to become a Shechar in the future. It never will become a Shechar. So the Rashbam says two things. It's losing its ability to become shechar. It's losing its status of shechar, thank you. And it also will never become shechar. It never will become wine again.
It was wine.
It was, but right. But it's retiring. That's it. It's retiring.
It can't continue to
be. Cannot continue to intoxicate.
Right.
Why did the Rashbam add that? Because the Rashbam is bothered. Yayin Midito, we said, is valid for Kiddush and for the Mizbeach, for the others. Yet that also can't intoxicate. So says Rashbam, no, Yayin Koseis is not Shechar and never can become Shechar. Ki Yayin Midito, the Sofu Mia, Leos Shechar. Yayin Midito, grape juice, pure grape juice, even though it can't intoxicate now, at least can intoxicate in the future. And since it has a bright future, it already can be considered an alcoholic beverage. Meaning we don't need it to be able to make you drunk now. It has to be something which at least in the future can intoxicate. As opposed to Yayin Koseis, which already is losing that ability. So from this Rashbam, Achronim say, we see an unbelievable thing. There's a major difference between Kedem grape juice and fresh juice grape juice. What's the difference?
Pasteurized.
Right, they pasteurized. Kedem grape juice is pasteurized. If it wasn't pasteurized, it would be wine but or sour. It would be vinegar probably by the time it reached our table. So they pasteurized it at a very high temperature to stop it from ever fermenting.
You can wine that with grape juice and that.
Yeah.
From Israel.
And apparently, we'll talk about that maybe tomorrow. Kedem invented, some people think it's terrible, Kedem invented non-malicious grape juice. And people think that's bad because that means if you leave it around it doesn't ferment. We'll talk about tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that it's the worst of both worlds, maybe. It's not immune from Yayin Netzach, and there are some that still consider Mavushal, and some still consider grape juice, meaning you didn't solve the problem. Some people want to be Matan not to have Mavushal,
right,
and not to have grape juice. It still has the status of grape juice. It might still be considered Mavushal according to some people, because they do heed it to some extent, and it also will definitely be problematic as far as as non-Jews are concerned. So we'll talk about that, Bez Hashem, tomorrow. But any grape juice, whether they take a magic wand and say presto, if grape juice is stopped from being able to ferment, regardless of how they do it, that already is problematic. That's not Yain Medito. It should have the same thing as Yain Kosis. Right, Yain Kosis is on the way out, and the Rashbam said the reason it's a problem is because it can never become fermented. So grape juice also, no matter how they do it, as long as they stop it from fermenting, should be problematic, should not be right for Kiddush and for Nesachim.
The vinegarization of wine is the second step of fermentation, so there's a problem with the
slurry. Yeah, what do you mean?
It's not that it stops being fermented and becomes vinegar. Vinegar is the secondary fermentation of wine.
And what? Yeah, what is so the person drinks vinegar? Still fermented. Yeah.
The question is.
Right. Meaning.
Fermentation. Is the question fermentation or is it the status of what's the one constant giant?
If a person drinks pure vinegar, can they get drunk on that? Can they have alcohol in it?
Wine vinegar, yes.
You could. You still can't get drunk on it.
Wine vinegar, yes.
Interesting. So, yes, I don't know. So, that's a good question. I don't know what the Rashbam. Scientifically, I don't know what the Rashbam means, that it's no longer intoxicates. I don't know what the Rashbam means scientifically, as far as not being intoxicated. But Hanodeo and Yanenu, the point that we need, still is okay. The fact that Lamaisa, something which we know does not ever ferment, still not going to be valid. The question is, what about the vinegarization? I don't know. I don't know what the Rashbam means exactly. Very good question. I'll look into that. But Halacha L'maaseh, as far as us, for grape juice, quite clear, the Rashbam should say grape juice is not valid. So point number one, Halacha L'maaseh, one major reason to say that grape juice is not valid for grape juice is, of course, the Rashbam in the Perspective of Avasa. The Rashbam tells us that the reason Yain Kosis is not good, we still have to explain the science, but the property that the Rashbam gives the Yain Kosis is that it is already on the way out. So too, if we have grape juice, which is never going to be on the way in, should not be valid for Kiddush.
Well, he doesn't say that grape juice. He says grape juice will become.
Oh, but that's because he's talking about pure grapes that you squeeze.
Okay.
But
not,
if you,
not that kind of grape juice.
Once Welch has invented grape juice that
it
stops fermenting ever,
okay,
it should be invalid for Kiddush. So that's one reason.
Do you think grape juice is possible or not?
Oh, fantastic. Very good. I'll find that for a minute. Beautiful, beautiful. Bro, Shetivanta, fantastic. We'll get there in a minute. Evolve it. So we'll get there. After we say all the times again, then we'll try to do the answer why we do it. So another major source for postulating grape juice for Kiddush and for the Mizbeach is the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says one innocent line. The fourth source here. In the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, in Reish Beis, says Beis Yosef, Kasuv Barchos Chaim. Who is Barchos Chaim? Rav Asher Milonil. Rav Asher Milonil was one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim. He wrote a multi-volume work in Halacha. So it says the Beis Yosef, Kasuv Barchos Chaim. The Barchos Chaim tells us, Al Iropi, on this strange contraption called Iropi, Mevarech Shehakol Upashatul. Mevarech Shehakol Upashatul. So says the Beis Yosef, quoting the Barchos Chaim. We don't know what Europe is, but some Achronim did the detective work. They happen to know what Europe was. They called Europe, Europe, the Gimel, or that's the Gimel. This strange mixture, Europe, they knew what it was, and they didn't have to be Achronim to tell us. They could have been newspaper reporters from the 16th century. They happened to know, they lived in Arabic land, they knew what Europe was. It happened to be they were Gedolei Achronim. Like the Knesset Gedolah, who was a tremendous Achronim who wrote addendum to the Shulchan Aruch, he writes in his first tshuva, in the Chelek Arachayim, that he knows what Iropi is. What is Iropi? He describes a process. They take grapes, and they squeeze them. They add some sort of white powder, which I think is some sort of salt. He just talks about a white powder. And then they boil it. And that stops fermentation. That's what he says Iropi is. That's down the transportation. We happen to take the salt. We don't put salt for it. Sometimes we do. Actually, there are some. But he sounds like he's describing some sort of grape juice.
Yeah.
And so the Beis Yosef says, Al Yeropi, make sure I go. Knesset Avdol explains, Yeropi means processed grape juice. So That's why many, I remember Payton, for example, quoted this defense of Gola, and he says, it's a big problem to use grape juice for Kiddush. That's a violation of Beis Yosef. It's Shehakol. It's no longer wine. If you take wine, and if you take grapes and you stop the fermentation process, then that is Shehakol. So says the Beis Yosef.
But it could be Chamar Medina still.
Right. What about, let's say, you're using, let's say, the first shot of the day? Right. But you have to know what bracha to make. That itself is a question.
Is the issue,
The difference is, though, that it already is a perfect item, and then you do something. But it's already can ferment. That's they point out. If you're already in the mishpacha, you don't need yichus. It's something that you're lacking yesterday. Meaning, there is in the mishpacha, it's already wine. You don't need yichus. You only need yichus. Needs to be able to be some ferment if it's really not in the family yet.
Cook it, and you add, as you say, sugar, then you're
going to
make jam out of it, or jelly. It's going to become thick.
Is that true? That always happens?
Well, that's sure, I mean, that's the process of cooking the grapes and all, and squeezing out the juice.
So that's a fantastic point. We'll discuss that. In fact, you're going to be more right than you ever believed by the end of this year. So that's,
my mother used to play the
so that's fantastic. We're going to get there in a few minutes. Mr. Shem, you're going to see. You're really right. So point number three, to take into consideration was the Yad HaLevi's own tzach. The Yad HaLevi, Rav Horovitz, Rav Yitzchok Simcha Horovitz from Hartford, Connecticut, pointed out that he was against Professor Ruli Ginsberg for the following reason. Says the Yad HaLevi is pashut. I don't have to bring any sources. Me'evav muvan. It's self-evident. The imnas lo mimenu kach hanis orer shavo. If you take out the ability to wake people up, if you make it no longer a stimulant, if you take out all the alcoholic content, such as our grape juice, if it becomes like a juice of any other fruits, obviously it can't be used for juice.
It's worse than juice of fruit. He says juice, fruit juice, theoretically, he says inside.
Right, he said he looks through more.
It's like you put it in orange soda.
He talks about more, right. So that's just one quote. He's talking, he's a lot of possibilities. He says further, about grape juice ain't both time the and cloud. Furthermore, he says grape juice doesn't taste like wine. He presumes the taste of wine includes alcohol. So even though it tastes grapey, it doesn't taste like wine. This part, the intrinsic part of wine is the grape juice.
According to him, even fresh squeezed grapes are no good.
So
he's not the same
that,
as those.
Right, it should be, but that's an end to tomorrow. Obviously can't be.
Right?
Because
it couldn't ferment,
right,
Rashi,
right,
Rashi Bram learned it.
Yeah.
The Rashi Bram said regular grapes are okay as long as they can ferment.
Right. So even
he
says
it has to be taken away from it.
He means
he says if it's taken away. He says the language is
if it could still have some future. So that's right.
He means okay.
So those are the three reasons to be against using vapors. Number one, the Rashbam. Rashbam and the Master pointed out that it has to be able to have a future. Number two, this Eropi. Is a very, very strong time. Rav Payton took that time also nicely. He did not want people to use grape juice because the Beis Yosef took that Eropi. And number three, we have this, the Yad HaLevi, this Trenis Gadol from Hartford, who says it's so pashut. It has no tam yayin. He also writes, if you look, and it's true, I don't know if it's on this page, but he also writes that the pasuk tells us, the tam yasot of yayin samach lavad enosh. Wine makes people happy. I mean, in part and parcel of being wine, that it can make people happy. So if you can't make people happy, there's nothing to talk about. Those are the votes against. Now let's go to the next page. Sodim Lahatir.
This
is the heart. That's a good point. So now, Kedem has the American Heart Association symbol on the bottom. This should also have the bucket. Very nice. Okay. So, let's see why, how often I said we do use Jephthah. What are the Sodim Lahatir? Number one, is, as you pointed out so beautifully, the Rashbam himself in Bava Basra. What does the Rashbam tell us in Bava Basra? The study of Bava Ra'alef. Chad Amar Kabriel. We saw his Machokas Amarayim. Yain Toseis was a Machokas Amarayim. We saw Machokas Rabbi Yochanan, Rishu Ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Then Machokas later Amarayim had a pastor. So we were left with the Seraphim. says the Rashbam himself, the same Rashbam that said the whole reason you need Yayin, that Yayin Tosfos is bad is because it has no potential, says the Rashbam, Chadam of Rabbi Yochanan, in first source on page 2, nearly the Hilchasa Chir Rabbi Yochanan. You will, later on in the Sugya, it sounds like even some that hold it for Rishim and Levi hold it for Rabbi Yochanan. Be that as it may, why it is. The Rashbam votes like Rabbi Yochanan, which means the Rashbam himself says Yayin Tosfos is valid for Kiddush. So the Rashbam himself was the only source to say that the problem of Yayin Tosfos is because it has no future, yet the Rashbam passes that Yayin Tosfos is good. That means the Rashbam himself would pass, and the grape juice is good, because we don't need. That only was explaining the opinion that the Yayin Tosfos is bad. But since we know the Yayin Tosfos is valid, so there's no problem with using grape juice or Yayin Tosfos for Kiddush. In fact, we passed it in Shulchan Aruch this way. There's less than on the poet. No one disagrees. Source 2 on the second page. Mekadshin al Yayin Direte Chalev Etami Chamber. One can do Mekadish on wine that smells like vinegar, but tastes like wine. That's how often I say we pass them, like this Rashbam. In fact, if you look in the Beis Yosef, what's the source for the Shulchan Aruch? How does the Beis Yosef know that we pass them? How does the Shulchan Aruch know we passed in that you can use Yayin Tosfos as Halacha Maisa? Rashbam. He quotes, you see the Rashbam, and others, you see the Rashbam, he quotes the Rashbam, meaning the Shulchan Aruch passed like this Rashbam, that says that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that Yayin Tosfos is valid. So what that does is two things. First of all, it means that there's no problem with Yayin Tosfos, and therefore with grape juice. And Fatera, it means that we pass on Halacha Maisa that Yayin Tosfos is valid. It will help feel because we know that there's actually a vote for it. Because Yayin Tosfos is good, therefore grape juice should be good. So there, problem number one from the Rashbam should be dismissed out of hand. There is a person, a Rishon Talmud Chacham, who wrote in a certain journal that he thinks that we should be careful and not use grape juice for Kiddush. And he quoted this Rashbam. So the Mechilas Tevodo, he didn't really follow the Sugya to the end. If you follow the Sugya to the end, then you see the Rashbam himself, not some other Rishon. And the Rashbam says nothing. The Rashbam himself passed like Rabbi Yochanan, which means Yayin Tosfos is not a problem. So what this Talmud Chacham was doing was he said, no, there's Rabbi Yona that says that even Rabbi Yochanan, that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Levi, holds that it's not right for Kiddush. For Kiddush you need something better. Meaning the Rabbi Yona writes, disagrees with the Rashbam. Rabbi Yona holds that everyone, even Rabbi Yochanan, invalidates Yayin Tosfos for Kiddush. We don't pass that way in Shulchan Aruch, but if you put together the Rashbam and the Rabbi Yona, that's what this Talmud Chacham wants you to say. Then you should say that Kiddush.
Most Rabbi Yona didn't want to be more of a faster though. It says the Gemara is trying to understand what is the Kulam Leyavi and Heavy Puzzle, which is talking about Kiddush Hayom.
Talking Yom about Kulam Leyavi is the Sakhan.
But in other words, the Gemara says the Kulam. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, I'm going to look for a Tzuvi of Arab. You can't. Can you say Kiddush Hayom? You can't say Kiddush Hayom unless it's Gai No Ruim Leyavi. So it can't be Lumiyutayin Nigita because B'diyevet is kosher. And especially because Rava says the Amar Rava Seichadot Meshkosh and Almayr on the Kiddush Yayin. So then we say it must be Lumiyutayin Kaitis from Kiddush, Kaitis, Mosul, Megula, etc., etc. And they say, even if you say Kaitis from Kiddush, look at Rabbi Yochanan from Shubin Levi.
Right.
So
he says he has a total different understanding. He says it's a machlokes, meaning according to one Amara it wouldn't be good, and according to the other Amara it wouldn't be good, but it's not right for us to say something stam that would be not mefurish in the other Amara. I mean, he has a whole reinterpretation. So one Rashbam and one Rabbi Yona in the Gemara, the Gufa tried to explain that point. He says, he weasels out. He says, it was not mashma from the Gemara, that's the way the Gemara would be tackling that problem.
No, so the place would be Echner of Shuvan Levi is for Nesachim, not for...
Right, and it wouldn't be, right, it just wouldn't be Mestaba. You're right, it could fit in, which is why most Rishon don't say it in Yona. It's a whole discussion. The Rashbam, this Rashbam himself, passing into Yochanan, is a whole discussion, trying to really figure out what the Gemara is talking about, Nesachim or Kiddush. But, so this Talmud Chacham says that if you look in Rabbi Yona says that everyone agrees that it's not good for Kiddush. So if you put together Rashbam who said Yayin Tosfos is not good according to Rishon ben Levi, and Rabbi Yona that says that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees by Kiddush, then you still can't use grape juice. Because Rashbam said Yayin Tosfos is bad, and even for Kiddush, according to Rabbi Yona, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that it's not good. So then you still have a problem. But First of all, we don't do that. You don't say that one Rishon says something on the sugya, and then he himself tells you how he paskins. You're not choshish for that Rishon according to the way another Rishon says something. Meaning, if the Rashbam says something on the first part of the sugya, and if Rabbi Yonah says something about how he paskin, you could say, so Rabbi Yonah, in his part of the sugya, together with Rashbam, in his part of the sugya, would cause a chumrah. But if the Rashbam himself tells you how he passes in the sugya, you don't out-Rashbam the Rashbam. You don't say, well, Rabbi Yonah together with Rashbam would be a problem. If the Rashbam tells you, clearly he doesn't hold Rabbi Yonah. That's number one. Number two, the Rabbi Yonah, we don't even know why he holds Yankosis as a problem. We don't know that Rabbi Yonah agrees to the Rashbam's understanding that the problem of Yankosis is because of the future. It could be that Rabbi Yonah holds that Yankosis is invalid because it's just not appropriate to bring something which is already turning to the Mizbeah. Meaning, you can't put together the Rashbam and the Yonah because we don't know that they hold each other all together. Anyway, so this Talmud Chacham wants to quote the problem with scriptures. And Mechilas Kavoda, I think if you follow the sugya, it's really okay as far as the Rashbam is concerned, because he passes himself, one can use the Yankosis. Okay, so there goes that problem. Number two, what about the Knesset HaVadolah that Rav Henkin quoted? Comes along the Minchas Yitzchok. The Minchas Yitzchok was Dayan Weiss, the head of the Badatz, who was nifted a few years ago, the head of the Eda Charedis in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. See, he has a beautiful tshuva about grape juice, in which he writes, the third source here, in page 2, the Isi L'Rav Zalba Beis Yosef, Kutsu.
But that's a Kutsu Gadol, is the third source.
Where am I? Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, okay, let's do a gram, sorry. Right, let's do the Kutsu Gadol inside. I forgot. The Kutsu Gadol inside, we're doing also. The Knesset Lola says, for each of the Rav Zalba Beis Yosef, this is part number one of the Knesset Lola, Kosov, he writes the following, Kosov Baruch Haschayim, Al Iropim Baruch of Shachal, Al Pashadu. The Knesset Lola quotes this Beis Yosef that says you can't make, that you make Shachal and Iropi. Says the Knesset Lola, Vinyan Iropi, what is Iropi? Who should Dorachim Ha'anovim, one presses the grapes, Ba'achar Drichasam, Masimin B'tzirosh, Offer a woman yadua. Sha'achas al-yosef. You put a famous white powder in. Al-yosef ma'at. Yishiyatzu ha-yayin yosef me'herav yamav v'nstifuso. What happens? That the wine, after it comes out, will become clear and not ferment. Va'achakach mechadmu osof v'chadei she'enet yadzoledesbo. And then you heat it up to some sort of low temperature. Osof ha'offer. That chemical, whatever that dirt that you put in is, gorim shehatirosh lo ye osayayim. That causes the grapes not to become one. El yamid bin sikos, yamod bin sikuso. It stays sweet. So chen dati mastemes v'larech alav shakol. That's the sense of law explaining what Europe was. Quite simple, like Rehenshin points out, one should not make hadrafen in our grapes because that is Europe. That's shakol. Now one could argue, even with this sense of law, there are a few reasons to say that it's mutter, even according to this principle of Lola, not like your painting. Why? Number one, this Arkus Chaim never quoted the Shulchan Aruch. So, to be Miyashiv, not necessarily with Chatzilo, but to be Miyashiv, Minoch Olam, using grape juice, one should say, the Beis Yosef wrote it, but it never made it to the Shulchan Aruch. So since it never made it to the Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass it that way. That's number one.
Is that the way we do it?
No, we don't do that, but so what? It really should make a difference.
Grape juice has sulfides.
Yeah, but
I don't know if that's the same.
Right, I don't
know. But that might be the same idea.
Yeah,
the sulfur that they were putting in, they didn't have it.
I want you to try to research what, in Talmud of Times, what they used for grape juice. And there was different types of sand they used in the process. There was a website I found, actually. There was some Seventh-day Adventist who thinks that, just like Prohibition, he thinks that the Makar HaResha in America is from having too much alcohol. So he's trying to get his friends to use grape juice in their sacraments. And he's trying to prove that even in the days of the Bible, they had grape juice, and grape juice was used in the days of the Bible. So he did a lot of research into grape juice. And he has some Talmudic sources about grape juice, and it's just a cheap website you can refer to, so you never know who you meet on the internet. So he has a whole discussion about grape juice and halacha, not with any of these sources, but about, you know, grape juice in the way it was made in the early days. And there was a lot of sulfur used. That's why I think it might be sulfur. But I don't know. But L'Chorish makes no difference. That's what I said before, the magic wand. As long as you stop it, then it should be a problem. So But the reason that they should still be mutter is, number one, we don't pass it this way, so it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Number two, for whatever this is worth, this Arkos Chaim does not exist in our Arkos Chaim. We have a set of multi-volume work by the Rav Asher Milonil on Hilchos, on Halacha, and this Arkos Chaim is not in ours. So, either the Joseph still posts it, but I don't know, it might be a sad lachel to try to explain why we're not miser with that. But reason number three is that the Bircha Yosef, who's the Bircha Yosef? The Chida, the Chaim Yosef David Azuloi, Curtis Akron, who lived in the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century, traveled all around the world, tremendous friends to Mechaber Svarim. So the Chida, in his sefer Bircha Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, writes that he has a different understanding of what Europa is. Sounds like a Machlokes and Matthias. He thinks what Europa is, like you said before, Europa does not mean that you take grape juice and you stop it from fermenting. It means you take grape juice and you congeal it. Now, I don't know if he's referring to frozen grape juice or jello or jelly or all the above, but it means you make it into some other object. It's no longer
a
drink.
It's not talking about
the
not the shmara.
It's
the shmara. Right. So,
the
whatever.
Separate,
so, that's what happens. So, it becomes something thick. So, that's what the Beis Yosef is talking about. It says the Beis Yosef, the Eropi is something different. Eropi means something which is congealed. And that's what the Beis Yosef said is Shakol. So, Minuka Olam. Of making Hadrach and Abrechus could still be explained, we rely not on the Knesset of Dola. Knesset of Dola was one opinion of what Eropi was. Whatever, however you try to, we'll see a better way of understanding, but even without what we're going to say in a minute, you still could understand Minhag Olam, because Eropi might not be something which is akin to our Abrechus, it just means something, some sort of jam or jello or frozen grape juice. In fact, there's a major discussion, Halacha Maisa, what bracha you make on grape juice ices. Because of this Bircha Yosef, and in the flip side of this Eropi, there's a sefer Mekara Bracha written by a Dayan in England, a beautiful sefer Nicholas Bracha, so there's a long discussion as to what Bracha one makes on grape juices, precisely because that might be the other opinion of Eropi, frozen grapes, seeing the term of grapes that are frozen. Okay, but comes on the Mitzvah Yitzchak from Yerushalayim Yerech Hodesh and saves the day, he has another reason to say that even the Knesset HaGadola himself holds you can make Kiddush an air kedem pages. Why? It says the Minhag Yitzchak in the quote here, Lo shamanu mishi yitzchakus, that we never heard anyone until recently that said one should not use grape juice. V'hatam nire, demasinu v'chenetzes ha'vzola ba'atmo v'malkam acher, v'chein shar pirushim, v'osir lutein, the Knesset of Lel himself, as well as the Bircha Yosef, the other Perushim, don't hold that's what Eropi means. Tichvar donu b'zeh b'tshuvas Haran, b'Knesset of Lel b'stifros b'tshuvas b'yichayi, b'Knesset of Lel and Haran. Rinyan maga akum, the Eropi hanal. They talk about the flip side of Eropi. One side, whenever you talk about something being wine, you talk about its bracha. You also talk about what happens if a non-Jew touches it, because we know the Torah, in order to stem intermarriage, told us not to use wine that was served by non-Jews. The Spirulei, what does the Knesset of Lo hold by Eropi, as far as Maga Akum is concerned? The Yesh Bezemish Maga Akum, it is subject to Stam Yenam. The Yesh was in Yayin Gomer, because it is indeed wine. And he goes through a whole process of explaining what Eropi is, and says, if you look carefully in the next Shuvah, this is really 169 Shuvahs later, Shuvah Kruf Ayin in the Knesset HaGdolah. V'hinei tarti yishma mina b'dvarim hanal. There are two things you see from the Knesset HaGdolah if you put both Shuvahs together. The first one that says Eropi means that you stunt it from fermenting. And the second one later, which says that it is maga akum, aleph, v'hametzius asiras ha'eropi hanal yesh beis shlovim. There are two steps in making Eropi. Echad, Shiva'od, Shu Yayin, Yosimu Ba'ofer Ve'efer Hanal. First, you put in this sulfur and you cook it a little bit to stop it from fermenting. Beis, Sha'achatach, Mevashmoso, Ad, Shanase, Tumahadvash. The next step is that you make it congeal. And even the Knesset HaGdolah, when he talked about stopping it from fermenting, didn't finish telling us the process. Even he explains later on that what it means is you stop it from fermenting and then you make it into jelly. Days. Shebishlav echad Hayu Kodim Shabishlo, Af Shesamu Boha Ofar of Efer Hanau, Shiyama Munusi Puso. After step one alone, just putting the sulfur in and stopping it from fermenting, Aim Laharan Mitzchuvaso, Ubal Hesabu Sefer Barachai, Vechem Lashol Shom, Shum Safek. The Aydin Sinas Ha'ofer, Ro Nishtanu Ve'usim Ataris Yayin, Ufupulo and Yeshraf Maga Akam Mitanim Hanal. There is a Machokas as far as Maga Akam, but after step one alone, the Knesset of Lola himself holds it definitely is wine. The Knesset of Lola in Shuvah 1 wrote very particular. He wrote, what you do is you stop it from fermenting and then you cook it. That won't become Yayin Netzach. That won't be Hadrosa. That's Shakol. But the Knesset of Lola himself explains what you wrote is, it really has two steps. Number one, you extract the grapes and you put sulfur in, then you boil them so it becomes very thick. And that is what is going to be Shahar Kol. And that explains why this is a little pashutu. This certainly wasn't inventing some strange type of beverage that looks like wine, but still tastes like wine, let's say, but still going to be Shahar Kol. It would be strange if they just wrote, well, pashutu. It's a chiddush to say that grape juice is Shahar Kol. But if the Eropi that Joseph is talking about means that it's congeals, that's pashut. That you can understand. But Joseph says that's just not a beverage. Number two, we understand according to this why the Knesset of Lola and the Rikha Yosef are not agreeing. We said before, it's strange. The Knesset of Lola told us that grape juice means you just stop it from fermenting. The Rikha Yosef said it means what? It's congeals. Machokas and Matthias, but what Eropi is was very strange. The answer is they're not arguing. Everyone agrees that what Eropi is, first you put sulfur in, stop it from fermenting, then you make it into jam or jello or something like that. And that, so the Rikha Yosef and the Salah, we're not really arguing. That's what the Mizosa says is going to be Shahar Kol. So even Rav Hankin, so the Mizosa says even Rav Hankin should agree. The Knesset of Lola himself only told you part of the issue in Shuvah number one. According to the Knesset of Lola himself, our Kedem Dreyfus should be perfectly valid because if all you do is stop the fermentation, that is not going to be a problem of
in other words, the boiling itself is not a problem. It's only the boiling that leads to the jelly part.
Right. So it comes to you boil it for a few minutes.
That's not going to be a problem.
Only the change of state.
Change of state.
Rather than
the moving out. Not concerned with the statement in the Pesach dialogue where he said the Afrikan Muhammadized the Bechdei She'ein Hayat Zalat.
Yes. So
Mashma there, even in dying wises.
Right.
Even assuming we're talking about that it's only Shahakol when it's congealed, but right. This
wine is still a gefen. Right.
Only if it's
ain't the Yashlatas
boy. In other words, assuming that our pasteurization is
the Yashlatas
boy, according to whatever sheet you're talking about, right?
Okay.
Then maybe
you're
out of luck.
Very good question. 2 points. First of all, it's funny. The way the Rikha Yosef and others quote this Knesset of Lola is Shehayat Zavad
Esko.
Meaning there are
Jews.
We have to do. Yes, there are some that. Because they say it's strange, just until recently, you couldn't do anything if it's not Yad Zavad Esko. Meaning now, the way we have pressure in food processes, we can take, if you change standard temperature and pressure, you can take very low temperatures and do amazing things with high pressure at low temperatures. But in the olden days, if all you did was heat something to 100 degrees, it wouldn't do anything. So it happened to be that the Knesset of Lola said you heat it to aim Yad Zavad Esko. So it could be. So that's what I'm saying. Number one is
it,
I mean, it boils very, very slowly. But even if that's true, the Yitzchak says we don't base on the logic. And the logic was, it shouldn't make a difference if it's Yad Zavad Esko or not. If the point is that it just takes away the alcohol, and there's no reason to presume that's a problem, it doesn't make a difference if it's Yad Zavad Esko or not. So you're right, it might still be identical to our grape juice, but it's not going to be...
Wasn't old wine... That it would make
it
a thicker thing that had to be watered down to be drunk.
Yes, it was stronger, but it was still a little bit.
It was just
down,
maybe, but was that something?
I think it's here from the Gemara.
The Mishnah and Brachos refers to mosgin as zakos, which means to dilute.
Dilute with wine. Right, so it was still thick.
Dilute
with
water.
With water.
It was still a liquid.
Right. So this is an unbelievable mitzvah. This is the Chassidus himself made it a great way. There's no better way to do it. It's almost the Akhtar Shemaya that Knesset of Lola wrote two Shuvahs, because with one Shuvah he wrote something very particular. He filled in the blanks later on with his own Shuvah as to what Eropi really is. And it works beautifully. That's why there's no Machlokes in the Tzitzis between the Rikha Yosef and the Knesset of Lola. Only with stage two will he make the Shakol, but stage one is still perfectly okay for Hadrasim. What about the Ahalevi, the Rav from Hartford that said that there should be a problem as far as grape juice is concerned because there's no alcoholic properties that it has. So he thought, first of all, that means there's no tam yayin. Second of all, it's not yayin talk of avenosh. It's just not really wine. Come on, we all know what wine is. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Tshuva in Minchas Shlomo takes issue with those points. He doesn't quote the Yad HaLevi, but he's talking about concentrated grape juice, which we'll talk about in the discussion tomorrow, grape juice from concentrate. And in the middle of the Tshuva he writes, V'afa gav dimestaber dehash tolo soidu misameyach. You're right now. It cannot make people happy. It's not really something which has the real properties of wine. Mikomachom, who margish al kopanim tam shel yayin decide umisameach. Says the Shlomo Zalman, it does have the tam of wine. We don't presume that the taste of wine is solely based upon its alcoholic tendencies. Even though it cannot intoxicate now, it tastes very much like wine. In fact, it tastes exactly like wine, minus the alcohol. Says the Shlomo Zalman, that's enough to say that it is indeed tam yayin for kiddush.
In other words, it can be misameach, not because it's alcoholic, it can be misameach because it has a good taste.
Maybe, or it's enough like wine, similar, you could use the yichus, meaning it's still in the family, so you don't need the yichus in it. Meaning, it really is, the adulation is sort of arbitrary. How do we know that the only thing that makes things like wine is the alcohol? Even without the alcohol, Shlomo Zalman says it's considered a taste of wine. Number two, Shlomo Zalman writes, which is not on the sheet, he says he thinks the whole thing's not a problem altogether. Once, that's the opposite of the Rashbam, once it has the potential to become wine, that also is tam yayin. I mean, even though it doesn't have, even if you'd argue it doesn't have tam yayin now, he thinks that's not a problem. Because since it can't, our juice should never get tam yayin. But since this can get tam yayin, maybe that's enough, then the positive yayin tamuk of enosh would even count for that, and there's nothing to talk about. That's perfectly valid. There's nothing wrong with saying that it doesn't have tam yayin, since it has potential that it still might be enough, which was all right. But he thinks we don't even need that, because in our case, it is tam yayin. How do we know that tam yayin is defined as only the alcoholic properties? So what we did so far is, Baruch Hashem, we explained Minhag HaOvim, making Kiddush on grape juice, the three major times where the Rashbam says you need potential. So we explained, you need potential, but we don't pass it like that Rashbam. The Rashbam himself didn't pass it that way. Number two, what about the Iropi? So the Mincha Tzitzchok saved the day. He quoted another Tshuva from the Knesset HaGdola who said that Iropi has two steps. If there's only one step, then it's still going to be valid for Hadothan. And number three, what about the Yad HaLevi Tzaris? So that Rav Shlomo Zalman says he thinks that it does have Tam Yayin, even though it is not going to intoxicate. There's one other point as far as Kiddush is concerned. The Magen Avraham writes, the second to last source on the sheet, Yayin Migito, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, is kosher for Kiddush, says the Magen Avraham, Mekamachom, Mitzvah B'Yayin Yashan, from Shvesu Sim and Tarkreish. Mitzvah L'chatziwa, not L'chatziwa as opposed to B'diyadit. But the best thing to use, if one really can, mitzvah min hamufar, is to use yayin yashan. To use a nice kosher cabernet sauvignon is much better than using ketan grape juice for a kiddush. So, some of my friends point out, first of all, Right, that's what I'm saying. Meaning it's not as opposed to a chila, it means mitzvah min hamufar, to show that you're mitzvah,
I missed that.
That's what he points out, right. It's a super lechatzila. So first of all, they point out that it's hard to know what the source, it's hard to know what the svara. This Magen Avraham comes from a Ma'aril. It might be this is subjective, meaning the only reason we presume that chaviv, the only reason we presume that yayin yashan is better is because it's chaviv. Most normal people, at least in those days, would rather have an old wine than something fresh. But since in America, we usually, for the most part, are not such ethnic, we're not so into wine. We don't appreciate real old wine. Or even if you do, but you're not in the mood of having wine, so then even the Magen Avraham would agree. Magen Avraham just means if you have one or two, you'd really rather have one, but let's say you don't want to do it all out for Kiddush, because you want to enjoy it all yourself. So use it for Kiddush, which is always the Chavivus HaMitzvah. But if you really like it, it's better, might be Magen Avraham doesn't apply. But number two, they point out, and the last one is Yayin Migito. There's a Rashi in the Seventh Times that says that Yayin Migito was chadash, new, umasuk, and sweet. The eno tov yayin yashan, it wasn't as good as yayin yashan, umashalshel umazik. It upsets one's inside and can actually hurt someone. So they point out, it might even be the Magen Avraham himself, even if the Magen Avraham is purely objective. It says it's better to use something that's not midito. Might be all the Magen Avraham means is because yayin midito in those days actually hurt your stomach. They explain this might be, let's say, wine which is aged for 20 days, meaning it's nishtahim nishtaher. it's already a little winey, but it's really not grape juice. But pure grape juice that you just squeezed that morning, even the Magen Avraham might agree. I mean, even if you want to say the Magen Avraham is not subjective, saying that he liked it better, even if you hold objectively, old wine is better than new wine, might be that new wine was bad because new wine really hurt you. As opposed to nowadays, that new wine is perfectly okay, might be even the Magen Avraham would say, you can use grape juice with Hasila for Friday night kiddush.
The grape juice is not having kippah. I mean, our game is the Yad. The grapes that you were talking about,
making
your own personal grapes.
That's Yayin Medito. Yeah, I'm just saying that when the Magen Avraham says to use Yayin Yashon as opposed to Yayin Medito,
yeah,
it might be what he refers to as Yayin Medito, which is only to be mazik you. And since our grape is not mazik you, might be that there's no chafil even of using Yayin Yashon as opposed to Yayin Medito or any grape. Just because our grape is totally okay, so therefore there's no issue. Again, Yayin Father. But probably it's not a problem altogether because Yayin might be it's all subjective, and therefore there's no reason to prefer one over the other.